comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It is talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and believe me, it is the Friday night place to be. It's the show where you matter, you know. We've already sent out the K-Files today. Normally, we do it right after Friday night's show. But I've got a fairly big project I have to be involved in after the show tonight. And so we went ahead and sent the K-Files out early. If you are a subscriber, you now have your K-Files, and that's a good thing. I'll tell you what, there is a link to a documentary in that edition that you really need to watch all the way through. It is absolutely fascinating. Some of you may have already seen it, but it is a documentary that has to do with some secret KGB files that have been revealed, and that show the KGB finding the tomb alleged to be that of, are you ready for this? Osiris. Yeah. Now, some of you have seen it. For most of you, it's going to be a shocker, but you need to watch that all the way through. I've watched it today. It is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And included in that is a pretty shocking videotape that they acquired, and I won't say any more, but it's a fairly shocking videotape. Are you yet a member of our members area? You really need to be. You know, you hear me say that, and you probably, you know, you hear me say it day after day, and you listen to the show, and I'm glad you do, and you probably, it goes through your mind, hey, he's just trying to get some money out of me. Ah, you know, 23 cents a day? Come on. That's not much motivation for me, is it? The deal is that there is literally a whole new world awaiting you in that members area. And people who have joined the members area, some of them after years of listening to the show, finally joined the members area. I get emails from them saying things like, man, I should have done this a long time ago. I can't believe what I've been missing. And I just hate to see you miss it. I really do. You know, it's your choice. But it is only 23 cents a day to get that whole new universe, and I would recommend it. And I think you'll find in the members area a great deal more than 23 cents worth. You know, it's 23 cents a day, and you get probably about $20 a day value out of it. So, check it out, and join tonight. There's no reason not to. Tonight is going to be Bring Your Own Topic Night, and it'll be co-hosted by Leroy the Cat. We'll be back right after this. Well, for those of you who are watching on our TV channel, do you notice anything different? Take a look. Aside from the picture of my co-host this evening, Leroy the Cat, the glasses, right? I was going through some boxes and unpacking stuff and found these. I haven't seen these in several years, many years. You know what these are? These are BC glasses. You know what BC glasses are? Those of you who are former military know what BC glasses are. When I was in Bosnia, when I was in Bosnia, I got medevaced over to a MASH unit for emergency surgery. And I didn't have my glasses with me, you know. They just kind of took me as I was and put me on the helicopter and flew me over to the MASH unit. And so I was in recovery the next day, and the chaplain comes by, and he says, wants to know if there's anything he can do for me, is anything he can get for me. Very nice guy. And I said, yeah, you know, there are newspapers and magazines around here to read, but I can't read without glasses. And he said, well, I doubt we can get you any glasses. I said, well, what about just, you know, some reading glasses, you know? And he said, well, I'll see what I can do. And a little bit he came back and he had these, and he gave them to me, and he said, these are BC glasses. And I said, BC glasses? What are BC glasses? He said, that stands for birth control glasses. I said, what? He said, yeah, they're so ugly, no girl is ever going to get close to you with those. So that's my BC glasses from Bosnia. I found those while going through a box of junk today. All right, this is going to be Bring Your Own Topic Night, and my co-host is Leroy the Cat. Leroy has somewhat the same attitude as our producer, Bob, and as you can see by his expression on his face. And he will be sitting silently by here, and if I need any assistance, well, he'll be ready to give it to me. But we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about here on the show tonight within our genre, and that's one of the things I really love about open lines. Open line night is we get so many different topics, and people have been reading, they've been watching videos, they've been involved in forums on the internet, and involved in chat with other people, and a lot of that even right in our own members area, but it doesn't have to be. But there are a lot of topics that are on people's minds, and perhaps you would like to discuss that. Now, since I've already sent out the K-Files, I want to kick it off by talking a little bit about that documentary I was mentioning. It is a documentary narrated by or hosted by Roger Moore, and it has to do with some KGB film and some KGB documents about a project they called, very secret project during the Cold War, that they called Project ISIS. And according to the film and the documents and a few of the remaining people that were part of the expedition, they found a chamber, a spherical chamber. The location of this has been kept a secret, but you get the impression that they found it under the Great Pyramid, and deep under the Great Pyramid. I don't know that that's where it is, but when you see the documentary, I think you get that impression. I think you will get that impression. But anyway, there is film of Russian army officers opening, they're inside this tomb, and they're opening the sarcophagus, and it's pretty amazing what you see there. The Egyptian lore is that there was a group of gods that came to Earth from the stars, and they are listed in the Egyptian pantheon of gods. And then there was a visitor god who came, who is not listed in the Egyptian pantheon of stars, and he is called the visitor god, and it is Osiris. And the other gods left and went back to their home in the stars, and he stayed and gave the people the knowledge of mathematics. He taught them, as they say, the magic of numbers and sciences and so forth. And he stayed there with them until he died. And they built a secret tomb for him, and it was known as the Tomb of the Visitor. Well, that is what the KGB located, and that is what they went into, and they opened the sarcophagus. And there was, in fact, a mummy in the sarcophagus. The remains, I guess you could say. This documentary really is kind of, you know, one of those that if you haven't been exposed to it before, it will blow your socks off. I mean, it really is something else. And they became, because of a string of events related to the opening of this tomb, they became quite concerned and afraid of it. And so they ordered the program, the project, shut down. And then the group of archaeologists and scientists that had been working on it began to mysteriously vanish, and some died, and some, they say, committed suicide. But there were some that didn't disappear, not until 1985. On April the 23rd, 1985, the remaining few, there are one or two still left, but the rest of them had organized themselves into a group they referred to as the Followers. April 23rd, 1985, they disappeared, and one of them in the group was making a videotape, right up until the moment of their disappearance. And it's pretty shocking. It is pretty shocking. One of the, a man and woman scientists that were in this group of followers had just disappeared, and their daughter did not know what had happened to them. She's now grown. They showed the video to her, and she positively identified her mother and her father in that group. And it was very shocking to her. So, you know, it would seem that the KGB, at least they were convinced that they had found the tomb either of Osiris or of something really, really phenomenally anomalous. There were all kinds of electromagnetic pulse readings going off the charts inside the tomb. The Followers believe that when the sarcophagus was opened, and remember, the Followers, it's a group of archaeologists and other scientists that were working in this project, they believed that when the sarcophagus was opened, it sent out an electromagnetic pulse signal to the home planet, if you will. They calculated where that home planet would be, and they calculated also the amount of time it would take for that signal to reach the home planet, and then for those people there to make the trip back, if they were going to make the trip back. they calculated that the soonest that these aliens could arrive would be April the 23rd, 1985. On April the 23rd, 1985, that group had made its way to Egypt and chartered a bus out to a rather secret desert location that they had determined would be the right place for them to be in order to make contact. There is a videotape of this, and it's in that documentary. And it is amazing. On April the 23rd, 1985, there is an article that appeared in the Egyptian newspapers, and then I think also it was carried in the Herald Tribune, which of course is the Herald Journal Tribune is an international English language paper. I think it was carried there also. But it's just a very short article that says that a group of Russian tourists had just disappeared, had vanished. And that's all that was ever said. There was never anything else said about this. Now, You have to judge this for yourself. You have to decide, you know, look, is this story for real? Is this, well, let me tell you, the story is for real. And the way, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that it's all true. The story is a real story that's out there. And the way it came to us is a Russian who is an astrophysicist, and who worked in as an science advisor to the KGB, had access to KGB secret documents and film, and he is the one that made this public. And he's written a book about it as well. But he's the one that brought it to the public, and he has allowed the film to be tested by professional film analysts who have determined that it's genuine, it's not hoaxed, and I mean it is a genuine film from that period, and everything in it appears to be from that period of time. It appears to be authentic and untampered. So he's the one that brought this story out and made it public. Now, you have to decide for yourself whether you think it's the truth or not. I mean, after all, you are dealing with the KGB, and the KGB were some of the best liars on the planet. Probably equaled by, but probably not outdone by, the CIA. That's the nature of the business they're in. But the documentary also interviews some of the people who actually were involved in that expedition. So we know the expedition did happen. And then there's a little bit of documentary evidence as well from KGB files. So what do you think? You know, it's been long rumored that there's a great deal more to the Giza complex then Mr. Zawi Hawass is allowing the world to know. And it has long been rumored that Dr. Hawass is keeping experts, scientists, and archaeologists from really getting in there and exploring the Giza Plateau. He lets them make only cursory examinations of it, and there are portions of it blocked off, where they don't allow even the archaeologists and geologists and scientists in anymore. We know from ground-penetrating radar that there is some kind of a chamber under, I believe it's the left paw of the Sphinx. But I don't think that's the chamber that's in question here. I think the chamber that's in question here is under the Great Pyramid, directly under what they call the King's Chamber, far under the pyramid. But it may not be under the pyramid at all. When you watch the documentary, you will see why there's a little bit of confusion. When you walk away from that documentary, a little confusion about where this thing really is. But it apparently really does exist. Project ISIS really did exist. It was run by the KGB. The scientists involved were very real, and they really did start disappearing. And this group of Russian tourists really did disappear, and there really is a videotape of it. So, did they find the tomb of Osiris? And now, if they did, you realize that what they found were the physical remains of an extraterrestrial. And as far as we know, that is the only documented find of the remains of any extraterrestrial. Now, a lot of people would say, well, our government probably, you know, whichever country you're in, our government probably has some extraterrestrials in a pickle jar somewhere. Well, yeah, probably. But we don't have any documentation of that. We do have these KGB files and KGB film. And so I think it's fair to say this is the first documented find of the physical remains of an extraterrestrial. The remains that you see in the sarcophagus appear to be, you know, average size, probably a little bit smaller than me, but I'm not really small, and neither are the remains in the sarcophagus. I'm just over 6 feet tall. I weigh 210 pounds, so I'm not really very small. But I would say, and it's hard to tell from the film, but I would say that the remains in that sarcophagus were probably around 5 feet 10 inches tall. And just based on the bulk that I see, I would think probably 185 to 190 pounds. What do you think about all that? And we'll talk about it on the other side of this break, along with whatever topic is on your mind. Telephone lines are open, and it is Friday night BYOT. That's the best combination there can be. Friday night and bring your own topic. How about that? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio, and you can reach that from anywhere on planet Earth. The toll-free number in Canada and in the United States is 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can give a call to our main number, or you can use the flash message feature on my website. You just go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see a link that says flash message. And you'll be able to communicate with us that way, all right? But that's the flash message is for folks outside the USA and Canada, because inside the USA and Canada, it's easy to make the telephone call, and I'll even pay for the call if you need to call me on the toll-free line, 623-444-5889. The KGB brought out of that tomb 15 crates of what they called relics. The KGB brought out of that tomb the sarcophagus and one mummified body. They had their forensic people to reconstruct the face based on the skeleton, based on the skull. And it looked really very much like what we would call a gray. However, the body size was average height and weight, was not small. So I don't know. I find it to be very, very interesting. All of that stuff has disappeared. Now, it's surely under lock and key somewhere in some secret warehouse, some secret archive somewhere in the former Soviet Union. Someone knows where it is. But all of that stuff is, they took it out of the tomb, and they surely know what they did with it. It could be that it's under lock and key in Egypt. That's entirely possible. You know, during the Cold War, it was pretty interesting. Egypt was a very, very close friend, a fast ally of the Soviet Union. But they never were interested in communism. They were certainly in the Soviet sphere of influence, but they were never communist and had no interest in communism. What's interesting about that is that the Soviet Union dedicated 43% of its foreign aid to Egypt. 43%, think of that, to one country. 43% of their foreign aid went to a non-communist country. Now, for that, they got to do a lot of exploring in Egypt. And the reason, apparently, was that the KGB believed that there were ancient technologies that were hidden in Egypt that had very serious power capabilities, and they believed that if they could get their hands on it, of course, that would give them a step ahead in this Cold War, and probably would have. According to the documentary, they ran into something they really couldn't understand. They ran into some power they really could not understand in that tomb, and it scared them. And I've made the comment that we've talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and I've made the comment I don't want to be standing anywhere near. If they find the Ark of the Covenant and decide to open it, I don't want to be anywhere near it. You may think that's all just superstition, and it may be. But like I said, I saw the movie, and I saw what I saw what happened in the movie, and I don't want to be anywhere near if the Ark of the Covenant is found and is opened. So what's the deal? Your telephone is broken? Or is your butt broken? Your butt's broken. You can't get up. Can't go to the phone. Is that the deal? You don't want to talk to me? Call and give Leroy the cat a call. And I'll translate for him, and we'll get you an answer from Leroy the cat. You know, but hey, if you don't want to do open line, we'll do Kevin Does a Monologue. Now, there you go. I left the ringer on just so we would all hear when the first call comes in. We are 37 minutes into the show, and we have our first call of the evening, Rapid Fire. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hi, Rusty.
Hi. I didn't remember you saying the lines were open. I guess I wasn't watching the TV channel.
Oh, yeah, I said it was open. Gave the number about 3,000 times.
Well, I guess I was listening to your story.
Oh, mercy. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no way to know for sure, but it sure is intriguing. Do you have a link to get to that story somewhere?
Yes, I do. It's in the K-Files.
Okay, in the K-Files. Uh-huh. Somebody in the chat room was saying so. But
see, I knew that's what's going on. Everybody's having such a good time in the chat room, they just decided they weren't going to call for 37 minutes.
No. Actually, I was listening to your story. I wasn't even thinking about calling. I really was. Your story was quite interesting.
Well, Dukes. You know, if you see this documentary, you will see the KGB film. It's in there. And you'll see that videotape of the people disappearing.
I don't know, though. You said some of them, how many of them did disappear out of the party, do you know? I mean, like, what is the percentage of them that died and those that lived?
They found one person that was part of the expedition and interviewed that person. There may be one or two more still alive. Everyone else is gone. And some of them, one or two of them, allegedly committed suicide. Others, you'll hear the account of this young Russian, I guess he's a soldier, he's in uniform, talks about his dad being involved in it. And he came home from school one day and the whole place was torn apart and his dad was laying on the floor with a gunshot wound and was dead. And so, you know, there was a lot of mysterious dying going on in that group. Some of them who survived that made it into 1985, and they were part of this group called the Followers. That's what they called themselves. And they went out together on April 23rd to this desert location in Egypt and vanished.
Well, that's very mysterious.
Yeah, it is.
Huh. Nobody knows how they vanished, though.
Yeah, you'll see it in the videotape. One of them was shooting a videotape as it happened.
Oh. Well, you know, I got to thinking, actually I was thinking of this last night, and you mentioned in the, like the Sphinx has the head of a, I don't know if you want to call it man, alien, whatever, and the body of a lion.
Uh-huh.
Well, there's mentions of that two places in the Bible. You think that's any connection?
Well, it might be. There have been some who have speculated that. I don't know. I've read the theories, and there may be a connection. The KGB was certain that there was a chamber of knowledge left by these star people. And that's what they were looking for when they found this.
If there was a race that was powerful enough to leave and, you know, such knowledge, I don't know as though they would let, whether it be Russian, American, whatever government, find those documents because they know that it would be used for not such good purposes.
Well, I don't know. I think we invest way too much perfection into extraterrestrials. I think we project that. I don't think they're that different from us. See, here's the thing.
Technology to do cross the star, so seemed like they could control such a matter as that.
All right, let me give you an example. 100 years ago, nobody was driving a car. Nobody was flying an airplane. Nobody built a rocket and went to the moon. Now, you take those people 100 years ago and compare them to us today. Did our technology and our technological explosion, and quite literally, because we can now split the atom, did it make us more moral?
No.
The addition of technological advancement does not mean that there is a concomitant addition of morality.
Well, it tends to, I don't know, I kind of gather this, maybe this is from a religious upbringing, that if you don't have morality, the more technology you get, if you don't have the morality with it, you will destroy yourself.
And we're doing that. But see, what we do with extraterrestrials, we say, well, if they've got the ability to come light years to the Earth, then, you know, they're so much more advanced than us. They've gotten past all of that warlike stuff. And well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. We have the ability to go to the moon, and we certainly didn't get past war.
That's true. That's not a very good forecast or, you know, to look at someone that could have that kind of power and could actually destroy the planet, whatever it may be, on a whim because they're mad at them.
Well, yeah. You know, I think that what you find out there will be extraterrestrials that do have a moral core and are an ethical core, at least, and don't want to hurt anybody. And then you'll find some that are greedy and grasping, and they want what they want, just like you find among people here. You want to hang on through the break, or does that do it for you?
Well, that's it for me.
Okay, Rusty, thanks for the call. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line tonight. Bring your own topic. We can talk about the one I've been talking about, or we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tracy from Ontario.
Hi, Tracy.
I think there might be a problem with the lines tonight, Kevin. I've called in a couple of times, actually right from when you started, and the lines were busy. I kept getting the message. Call back.
Well, I don't know, but you finally made it through.
I made it through. I have to admit, at first I was wondering, what the heck is he talking about? I got the K-files, but I was working today, so I didn't even have a chance to look at it, so I feel I'm not prepared for class. So, when you were talking about documentary, I'm going, what documentary? What's he talking about? What did I miss? What Russians? What's going on?
Well, when you get a chance to see it, it's going to roll your eyes back. It is amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's incredible, because I thought underneath the Great Pyramid was water channels, basically.
Well, when you watch this documentary, you're going to hear them say that the location is secret. Mm-hmm. You're also going to see a diagram of ground-penetrating radar that shows the Great Pyramid above the ground, and it's showing you the ground under the pyramid, So it leads me to believe that that's the location.
But there's a great deal of space between where the water aquifer is and the pyramid. Actually, there's the pyramid's on kind of a platform that looks earlier. So did you mention how old this mummy is? Is it 3,000 years?
They believe it to be around 10,500 B.C.
Because people were shorter. So 5'10 is pretty tall.
It was pretty tall. Now, they didn't say he's 5'10. That's my estimate. And here's what I'm using. You get to see the film shot by the KGB in the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's very clear. It's black and white, but it's very clear. It's not one of those blurry, I can't really see kind of deals. It's very clear.
Okay.
It's a good film. And so you see the men that are in there working, and you see their body size. And I'm simply comparing the body size in the sarcophagus to those guys. And he looks like he might be a little bit shorter, but not much. And so I'm guessing maybe around 5'10". I don't think that mummy is much shorter than that.
That's really tall, and it's funny you mention that. I was talking the other night about a movie that really creeped me out. I think it's called The Fourth Kind.
Uh-huh.
And it's talking about visitations that happened up in Nome, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have on video, well, they don't have aliens on video, but they have people being lifted up in the air, and they have voices.
Mm-hmm.
And what the people say they saw, the few that could actually remember seeing something, these beings were grayish, but they were not tiny.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the guys were saying they were around the same size, so I'm guessing 5'10", 5'11", so...
Well, it's pretty interesting. They show you the skull in the documentary, and then they show you the facial reconstruction that the KGB had done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here on the show, Tracy, I think you're a member, right?
Yeah, I sure am.
Okay, so you get to see the video channel. And, you know, sometimes at the end of a commercial break, it shows an alien face and it says it's our favorite show.
Yep.
That's what the face looked like.
Wow.
That's the reconstructed face looks like that. Yet it's not on a little gray, it's on this, what I would say, a full-size, full-grown, looks like a full-grown male body.
Well, a lot of the Egyptian glyphs and sculptures are all very large-headed. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
Their heads are in proportion larger than their body, and I don't think it's because those people were bad sculptors. I think they were trying to mimic something.
Well, maybe, and maybe they are descendants of the star visitors.
Could be. That's what they say they are.
Yeah. And maybe that's the reason. I spent a number of years thinking that, well, you know, if there are these ET human hybrids, then we ought to be able to see something in their DNA that would tell us. But that's wrong because, you know, what if being human is not unique to Earth? What if there are humans all over the universe? They are extraterrestrial. And if they come here, they're human, we're human, it may be a little different, but by this time, all these centuries, It would have been there. Whatever DNA they had that might be unique would have been incorporated by now and dispersed through the our species, so that we just think that's normal.
Yeah, and there's lots of odd things, even in the general populace. There's people with six toes, six fingers, two sets of teeth,
mm-hmm.
large head. There's people with brow ridges still that,
mm-hmm.
Could be part Neanderthal. There could be...
Or Klingon.
Or Klingon. I don't know. I think the quackademics don't give us a lot of credit.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps at one point we used to travel.
Maybe we did.
Came back. Maybe it's us.
Mm-hmm.
And
it could be.
Let's go home, see how we're doing, and come back and see, oh my God, what happened to us? They got really stupid, and what are they driving around in? What's that smell?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, really interesting topic.
Thanks. All right, well, look, yeah. I appreciate the call. Be sure you watch that documentary.
I will.
All right.
Okay, bye, Kevin.
Bye. Yeah, you see, I tell you all the time, you need to subscribe to the K-Files because it's always got good stuff in it, and this is one of them. It's only one of them. There's always a lot of interesting stuff in the K-Files. This is just one. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Brian from Burnaby.
Hello, Brian.
Yeah, I was just thinking it was the KGB didn't let out many videos from its time. It's quite remarkable that they would let this one out.
They didn't. It was smuggled out.
I see. Okay.
And it was smuggled out by some KGB officers who got it to this astrophysicist who was a consultant to the KGB. And they got it to him. And as I said, he has allowed it to be subjected to expert analysis, and it passed.
Yeah, I find that interesting. The other thing I was thinking, if you took the... did you see the movie Cocoon?
Yeah.
And if you took that and the... do you remember the Heaven's Gate cult of a few years back?
Uh-huh.
If you took those two topics and combined them, that you might get something as we have in this video.
Well, except there were no bodies found. Ever. There were no bodies. There were no remains except for the video camera laying on the ground and the bus, the empty bus they had been in.
Well, you have a point there. I was just thinking how remarkable it was that these should coincide. The U.S. never lets out any. Nobody seems to get anything from the U.S. military or the. I guess whatever the equivalent of.
Yeah, you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, hang on through the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's open line, bring your own topic, and we have Brian from Burnaby online. Brian, you were saying we don't ever get anything out of the U.S. government like this film. I can tell you, when you watch this documentary, you will not get the feeling that this was released by the Russian government either. It was smuggled out.
And I was wondering, Kevin, did anybody have any repercussions from that? Was somebody demoted or sent off to the jail?
I don't know. The documentary doesn't go into that. But the astrophysicist apparently had no repercussions for publishing it.
Yeah, and that because I know there's a period in when the Soviet Union was dissolving and the KGB reformed as the FSB. There's a 2 or 3 year window there where stuff did get out, but after that, I think they clamped down again.
Yeah, and you know, there's really not much difference except the initials. You know,
that's true, yeah.
KGB and FSB are pretty much the same operation. It's like, okay, we're not going to have the CIA anymore. We're going to have the ABC.
Well,
it's still going to be the same thing.
Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah, I know in the U.S., if somebody from the NSA or CIA or OSS or whatever outfit were to release information, I'm sure there would be repercussions. Somebody would be sent to jail, and that would be at a minimum.
Yeah, yeah. But it is rather stunning film when you see it. And, you know, the fact that they subjected it, they asked this author, this doctor, whatever his name is, that is the astrophysicist, they asked him for permission to subject the film to expert analysis. And he said, yeah, sure. And, you know, none of that, well, we can't do it because of this and because of that. Yeah, go ahead. And so they subjected the film to expert analysis, and it passed.
Well, that's great to hear. At least that's one thing in its favor. Anyway, thank you very much, Kevin. I'll let someone else carry on then.
All right, Brian, thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, I get emails and sometimes calls. I've had calls like this. But every show in this genre gets it. Coast to Coast gets it. Jeff Rentz gets it. I get it. I guess Jerry Pippen probably gets it. Everybody gets it. Where someone claims they've got something that is extraterrestrial and it's the definitive proof, and you know, and you say, great, well, look, can we get it tested? Well, you know, I'll have to think about that, and you know, and then it goes away, and you know, once you start trying to subject it to tests, and they back away. Well, in this case, he didn't back away. He let them test the film. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're live on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Iris from California.
Hello, Iris.
How are you doing tonight, Kevin?
I'm doing good.
Very interesting show. This is the first time I've ever called in, so I hope I can keep it together here.
Well, you'll be able to after we give you some applause.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Become a member, and in the few short months, I think I've gone through just about every back show you've got, kind of running out here.
Well, we're making more every day. That's, you know, the Kevin Smith Show is sort of like, it's sort of like babies and cigarettes. They're making more every day.
Thank you, Lord. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight was, you know, the UFOs that they say are having the dog fights?
Yeah.
They look at them through night vision?
Yes.
I grew up next to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
And I remember they ran constant training missions. And I'm beginning to wonder if those are not ours doing the training up there. You know, they have to train. And I remember a scientist, I heard an interview, rather famous scientist that said there was going to be a false flag operation to make us think we were being attacked by UFOs. So I was just wondering if maybe this could be our government up there practicing. And if we're watching thinking there's a war going on, that's good because, you know, that would reinforce a false flag if they ever decided to do it.
Well, you know, it could be. Ed Grimsley is the guy that is really at the forefront of all of that.
Yeah, and I live close to Ed Grimsley, close to his town.
You say you do live close to him?
Yes.
Well, I have asked Ed on a number of occasions, in person and on the air, you know, who do you think that is? And his answer is always the same. I don't know. I don't know who it is. Yeah. I don't know who's the good guys or the bad guys. I just know they're up there and they shoot at each other.
I just can't imagine an actual alien fleet up there constantly battling it out. Now, I know I read the Hall books, and he worked on a field where they did constant practice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking that's probably what it is, our government up there practicing. That could be the reason they're not giving NASA any kind of a budget. They've already got craft so far advanced. It's such a waste of time and effort, and we've lost so many astronauts because of that antiquated system they use. So, you know, I think they're just shut it down. You know, they're not going to waste any more money when they've already got a fleet so far advanced.
You may be right. That may be exactly the case. But, you know, if that is the case, they need to give NASA that technology so that they can go explore Mars and go explore the moon. We haven't explored the moon. How many people walked on the moon?
Yes, that they let us know about.
Yeah. Well, you know, really 6, 8, 10 people walked on the moon, and they call that exploring the moon? Nonsense.
Right. Yeah, I think that was just... and another subject I wanted to bring up. You know how all these other countries are heading for the moon?
Yeah.
China and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, I was thinking, why would they do that? And... I retired as an analyst, a computer programmer analyst on the IBM mainframe, so I was always doing analysis. I was born an analyst, so that's just the way I think, and I was wondering about that. And what I was thinking, I lost my train of thought.
Why would all these countries be going to the moon?
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about.
I'm thinking that maybe the aliens... the race has said you cannot be considered a spacefaring race unless you've made it to one of your moons. And if you want to sit in on the table when we decide how everything's going down, you better make it to the moon at least. And then you'll get a seat at the table.
Well, it could be. It could be.
Yeah, that's just, I mean, that's the only, why else would all these countries just all of a sudden decide they got to get to the moon?
Yeah. You're right. It's Japan, China, India. Iran says they're going to do it.
Yeah.
If
they want a seat at the table, you better make it to your moon or you don't get to sit and help make policy.
Well, that I hadn't thought of that, but it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. Iris, thank you for the call.
I've enjoyed it immensely, and you made it very easy. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Hey, don't let this be your last call.
I really enjoy it, so you should have been a teacher.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll talk to you another time.
Thank you, Iris. Okay, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin from Beaverton.
Hello, Kevin from Beaverton.
I was wondering if Jose Escamilla ever had his premiere.
Well, I would assume he did. I don't know. I was not able to attend, but I would assume he had his premiere, yeah. But I haven't heard from him, so I don't know.
All right. I'd like an update if you can get one.
Well, I'll try to do that. And, you know, if I can get an update from him, I certainly will put it out on the air. All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Well, what do you think? You think it'd make any difference if they actually found the tomb of Osiris? You know the story of Osiris. Osiris said that physical death was nothing and that he would return. And so, you know, the promise of a second coming, we heard about it first with Osiris. And these people that were followers had been in that expedition to uncover that tomb and to go into it and to discover what's in it. They believed fully that that would happen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, Leah.
Hey, I tried really hard last night to call.
Yeah?
And I wanted to know if the people that was in the town you were talking about that saw the strangers come in?
Oh, they were not in a town. They were on a couple of jungle islands.
People had seen them. You had talked about how they came into town and peeked in the window and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, they came into a village.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I'm from a village in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And people aren't real friendly. So strangers come to town, they never say nothing, and they just stare at them. I'm wondering if that's what they did. Was there ever any mention of anybody actually trying to talk to them?
No. Not in the report that that Major General wrote in his book. There was no indication that anybody ever had a conversation with them. Except the little six-year-old boy. The little six-year-old boy was taken into the jungle, and what he described happening was what we call medical examination. And then they told him that he could have any kind of food he wanted, that they would get him any kind of food that he wanted. So that's the only account of anybody having a conversation with them.
Wow. Well, that's really too bad. People don't at least make an attempt.
Well, our species reacts very oddly when we are frightened. And not only do we act oddly when we're frightened, we get frightened by some very odd things that shouldn't frighten us. And anything that is unusual tends to frighten people. And I know that because of this show. Over the years, I've had conversations with family members. I've had conversations with friends and new acquaintances. You know, people say, well, what do you do? And I tell them. And, I'm a talk show host. What sort of talk show? And then I tell them.
Then they shut up, right?
And it's scary for them. And, yeah, they want to change the subject. And if they can, walk away because it's scary to them. And so anything that we're not already used to scares us, and we run from it. Now, think about this. Since that is a human trait, a human tendency, it makes you wonder how we are ever able to procreate. Because there was a time before, you know.
Well, it's not that hard to understand as far as, like, where I grew up in Michigan, a small town called Nashville, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And it was that way. Anybody new come in town, they just stare at them. And nobody would say anything. They felt really uncomfortable even going to the store or anything because, you know, they went back to their hotel and just stayed there because they weren't welcome.
Uh-huh.
And so it's really not that surprising. It's just too bad they didn't land somewhere more like California, where they'd blend right in, nobody'd notice, and they'd get talked to.
Yeah. But you know, in most of the villages in that part of the world, you can walk into the village. You're obviously, I mean, when I walk into a village, I would be walking in uniform, a uniform they've never seen before. I would be much taller than anybody else in the village. I'm white, they're brown. I mean, it's quite obvious I don't belong there. And yet, they were very friendly. They were very... they were not at all like villages here in the U.S. are, like what you're describing. They're very open. Now, you never, ever, ever want to lose sight of the fact that it's their village and their chief is in charge. But as long as you don't lose sight of that fact, they're very open, very friendly. Offer you a place to sleep for the night, feed you, you know. And they're just different in a good way.
You think maybe they did try and it just was never accounted?
Well, I don't know. I would suspect that there were attempts to communicate, but I'm speculating. I would suspect that there were attempts because I know the people in that part of the world. And they really will work. Look, I use this example in the show. 80% of the people in East Timor speak Tetun, but there are 12 ethnic groups and 12 separate languages on the island. And I could get into a very, very remote part of the island where they didn't speak Tetun. I do, but they didn't. And so I would try Portuguese. Nope, they didn't speak Portuguese. And the island had been a Portuguese colony for 400 years. That's how remote some of these places are. But they'll really work at trying to communicate. They'll draw in the sand and try to make you understand what it is they're saying. And they really work at it. You know, I mean, they're not a closed people. They're very open.
Well, then there probably was attempts. It just was nobody ever wrote it down.
Yeah, it just wasn't in that account that was in the general's book. And maybe just because maybe it wasn't reported to him, or maybe he just didn't think that was important. I don't know.
Well, did the child seem like he was terribly frightened and really traumatized by it, or?
No, they said he was in a confused state at first. But then after a little while, everything was okay, and he was able to tell them what happened.
Hmm. That is interesting.
Yeah, I've never heard a UFO extraterrestrial report quite like that.
Well, at least not reported.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's one of the most solid reports I've ever run across.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Coming from, high officials and the community, there's a lot to support it. They can't deny it. You always wonder, how much proof is anybody going to need?
I think if extraterrestrials landed right on the front lawn of some of these skeptics and invited them on board the ship, they would later say it was a Hollywood trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Everything's an optical illusion or a fantasy, and everybody is hallucinating.
That's true.
But, yeah, that's really sad. It really is.
Well, listen, I got to run, but thank you for the call.
Okay, well, you have a good night. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is Bring Your Own Topic Night. We'll talk about whatever it is that's on your mind. We can talk about this KGB information that's in the documentary, or we can talk about last night, our night before last show, where we did the story from Indonesia, or we can talk about absolutely whatever else is of interest to you within this genre. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I've only watched the first video so far of that documentary.
Uh-huh.
But I found one thing I slightly object to.
Okay.
They said that Egypt was the only civilization to spring up overnight. They forgot about Sumeria.
Well, the person who makes that statement is an Egyptologist. It's a female, Dr. Somebody, and she is an Egyptologist. And Egyptologists will say they were the first, and Sumerianologists will say Sumeria was the first. So it's not the position of the documentary, it's the position of the speaker.
Yeah. That's just my comment.
I disagreed with it too. But you expect an Egyptologist is going to say that, and you know they're going to try and to defend as much of their status quo as they can.
Yeah. That was it. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. 623-444-5889. Is the main number, or 888-223-4599. That's the toll-free number in the USA and Canada. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message feature, and takes only a few seconds to do so. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin.
Hi.
This is Tony. Whatever, from Norman, Oklahoma.
Hello, Tony. We're going to get caught by the break, and that's going to happen in 6 seconds. You want to hang on through the break?
Well, all right.
Okay. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and on the line with me is Tony from Oklahoma. Tony, before you get into all of this, you know how I always used to get your name all mixed up and call you Terry?
Right.
You are the reason, you, sir, are the reason I write people's names down now as they call in so that I'll keep it straight.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't know what the deal was. Anyway, what's on your mind this evening?
I told you that last time I called about the little friend I saw.
Yeah.
Things have been going on around that house. They've stopped in the last week or so, but before that, things have been going on around that house ever since. So that's
what kind of things?
The dog's acting funny. I believe I explained to you that they have a German Shepherd that they have to drag in from the rain. I mean, the dog does not like to be in the house. And this night, we couldn't get the dog to go out. He wouldn't go out, or she. And they had a few more nights like that where the dog wouldn't even go near the front door.
Hmm.
And the other dogs would sit at one window and bark. And other strange things, like my niece thought she saw something out in the backyard and heard things. So I just wondered why, I can't figure out why they would show up that night. And
what did your niece think she saw?
She didn't know. She couldn't tell what it was. But she saw something.
Uh-huh.
But it's as far as I know, it's been a long time since I've had any run-ins with them. I used to, I guess I can't say used to be an abductee, because I don't know if I still am or not, or contactee, or whatever you want to call it. And as far as I know, this is the first time it was ever so blatant and clear. I mean, this thing was just standing there like 30 feet, maybe a little less, maybe a little more.
Did it just stand there and stare at you?
Yeah.
I've got right here in front of me a report from Puerto Rico, and this happened back in 2005. It was about 3 a.m. in the morning, and a lady was awakened because she heard an unusual humming sound that she said sounded like an approaching hurricane. And she had,
wow,
to make a long story short, because it's about 3 or 4 pages long, there was a group of 2 or 3 extraterrestrials, grays, standing just beyond the fence around their yard. They had a fence that's about 2 feet high, and they were standing there looking at her through the window, and she was looking at them. She went and woke her daughter up, and her daughter came and saw them, and they were just staring. And after a couple of minutes, her daughter was frightened, and she said, "I don't want to look at them anymore," and she went back and climbed in her bed and went back to sleep. So, you know, that's a very similar case. This lady's name is Maria, and somewhere in here it, I think, gives the family name. But anyway, the deal was that they had her husband had retired here in the United States, and they had moved to Puerto Rico.
Right.
But after several incidents of this happened several times, they had had enough, and they said, that's it. Nobody was taking them seriously, and they packed up and moved back to the United States.
Well, I don't care what people think when I tell them about this kind of thing. I really don't care what they think. You know, they weren't
good for
there.
You.
They didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did.
Yeah.
And another thing that gets me is it had no effect on me. I mean, it didn't bother me at all. It was like I just saw a dog, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strange. Oh, and my the same niece said her and her mother were pulling in the driveway about 3 a.m. about a week and a half ago, and they saw an animal that they at first thought was a deer, and they have there's a chain link fence that's about 6 foot high, and this deer, as they looked at it, they noticed it had more like a burro's face, or, you know, like kind of a horse or a burro's head, and there were other strange looking attributes to the creature, and it jumped this fence. Can a deer jump a 6 foot fence?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
And I'll tell you what, I saw a dog jump a 10 foot fence.
Wow!
It's called a Malawat. And he was a police dog, and I saw him launch over a 10-foot fence.
My God!
Yep.
Wow, that's I you know, coming from anybody but you, I'd say, oh, come on.
Well, I've got to tell you something. That's exactly what I said while I was standing there watching it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, the canine officer had him especially trained to go over tall fences like that.
Now, the dog didn't touch the fence. He just cleared it?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. Because I've seen dogs jump big fences, but they usually, you know, kind of climb here and there.
Yep. He went right
not
over
completely
it.
Completely clearing it. But she said that this animal wasn't a deer.
Mm-hmm.
At first they thought it was a deer, but then as they looked at it, because it was right in the headlights, they couldn't figure out what kind of animal it was. They'd never seen anything like it before.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. I guess the thing to do is capture one.
Yeah. What do you use for bait?
What you do is you put up a net above the fence. And when he jumps the fence, he flies into the net, you see.
Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. All right, Tony, I got to run. Thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin.
All right.
You take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you. You too. 623-444-5889 is the main number here, and 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
In all of our discussions and debates over aliens and UFOs and things, my question is, which came first, the Earth or the Anunnaki?
I don't know. I wasn't here, so I don't know.
Neither do I, but if we go by the Sumerian supposed history, apparently the Anunnaki were doing quite well on their planet, Nibiru, even as it came around and hit, the water planet and busted it in half, and then later we became the Earth. So we could conjecture that the Earth came second.
Well, maybe. Maybe our planet and their planet formed at about the same time.
I don't think so. Not according to what I read. This was an ancient planet. It was already starting to have a lot of problems with the ozone. That's why they were coming here to mine gold. And Tiamat was the planet that its moon struck and caused the to be knocked out of orbit and come into the third orbit around the sun, and then created the bracelet or the asteroid belt, you know, also at the same time. So the stories from, like, the Book of Enki and all this, tend to relate that they had been around a long time.
Well, it could be. It could be. Like I say, I wasn't there, so I don't know.
It was I. But they did this genetic stuff and created humans, so apparently they had been dealing with this quite a long time.
Well, according to what we know about the Sumerian texts, they were quite advanced. The Anunnaki were quite advanced and were extremely technological and obviously had the ability to fly through space. So, you know, you would tend to think that they had been around for quite a long time.
Just one of these things that we take for granted and never really stop to think backwards on.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would just take time to...
All right, so now let me ask you a question.
Ask?
Were the Anunnaki the same star people that visited Egypt and kick-started their civilization. And was Osiris one of them?
Well, that's a case of presumption on my part, because it was stated even among them that there were other races who were coming here. And even if you accept the fact that the Pleiadians did come here, they were here up until about 200,000, started coming here and lived here until about 200,000 years ago, and then they left. So I can't answer that question.
All right. Fair enough.
Galatian.
Fair enough. Mike, thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the main number here at Information Central for the Galaxy. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Kevin, I would like to thank you for the Constitution in the K-Files.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Kevin, who is the they that will put you on the list for promoting this quote-unquote living and breathing document? Maybe it's the reptilians? What do you think?
They may be reptilian. Department of Homeland Security has published a list back during the Bush administration, and it's carried forward into the current administration, of the types of people who may be threats to national security. And among those on the list are those who talk about the Constitution too much. You want to hang on through the break?
Yes, sir.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have Tony from Denver on the line. So, Tony, you had asked the question, who, in the K-Files, it says they'll probably put me on some kind of list for this. I said that sort of tongue-in-cheek, but the fact is, if you talk about the Constitution too much, you're already listed as a threat to national security.
Yeah, I was being tongue-in-cheek, too, when I said living and breathing document. That drives me crazy when I hear judges or politicians refer to it as that.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. It's not what they want to imagine it to be. And
Kevin?
Mm-hmm?
You said it takes a village the other night, I think it was last night, for the aliens, or better said, it takes a village on steroids.
Yeah, I said their version of it sounds, what he was describing sounded to me like it takes a village on steroids, what he was describing about the alien civilization.
Well, the reptilian shapeshifters are in charge of the United States, because I've heard Hillary Clinton claim it takes a village quite a few times.
That doesn't mean she's a reptilian shapeshifter.
I don't know if she sure has the looks to prove it.
Okay. I know you don't like her. I get it. Tony, thanks for the call. All right. We have a flash message from Rick in New Zealand. Kevin, looking forward to watching that video of this documentary in the K-Files. Thanks for sending it to us for free in the K-Files. I noticed another article recently from BBC about possible Mars life, quote, Mars site may hold buried life. It seems to me that there have been tidbits released here and there for so long, I wonder if they're ever going to give us some of the real meat. Is your Mars Maximum Mystery still available, along with the Venus documentary? I really must get around to watching them. And the answer is to Mars Maximum Mystery and Venus Watch the Other Hand, yes. It's available. You just go to my website. You'll see the picture of each of those books, and you click on that, and it'll take you to where you can purchase each one. You get to download the ebook, and you get to watch the video that we did that goes with the ebook. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Perry from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hi, Perry.
Hi. I just wanted to call in, and I wanted to first give. I got into the show late tonight, having some problems.
Okay.
And I wanted to get a tone of the topics before calling. But I remember you mentioning something about about people. You were challenging what people would be thinking that if they if the aliens had such great technology and they were able to get here, that they would have good intentions. And I disagree.
Just to clarify, I don't think that just being in possession of extremely high technology has anything at all to do with the ethics or morality or actions that'll be taken by the people that possess it.
I totally agree with you. That's I think that that all one really has to do is put things like this this kind of idea through a logic engine. You just need to examine it from a logical point of view. And we see patterns in life all around us, and we can't really close our eyes to the patterns because they are there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, when you're going through life here, you can be walking on Easy Street and then turn a block and you're on Skid Row. And I think the same thing applies in the sense with the aliens, you're going to get the whole full spectrum some of them are going to be good intentions, and some of them are going to have, not our intention at heart, but theirs, and then some of them are going to be evil.
Yeah.
You're going to get it all. They're all there.
That's true, and I think we're dealing with, when you're dealing with extraterrestrials, you're dealing with a civilization. And there may be many, many civilizations of them. I would suspect there are. Now, if you think about how nations deal with nations, Russian people are not evil people. And American people are not evil. So they didn't want to be annihilated, and we didn't want to be annihilated, and yet we had this Cold War. And we were on the knife's edge of annihilating each other several times. And, you have to wonder, how would it be much different between us and an extraterrestrial civilization? I don't think it would be. Nations don't have friends. They have allies. Now, Britain is a great ally, but they're not our friend, they're our ally. And they will act in their national interest first. As they can, they will act to assist us and help us. We do the same thing. We will act in our national interest first. But as we can, because we're allies with Britain, we will act in ways to assist and help them. But each nation acts in its own interest first. And I think that's what you would have with extraterrestrial civilizations.
Well, I think that's what you would have with the wide spectrum of them, but not the full spectrum. I think that there are some which maybe it could be those Pleiadians, for example, but I think there are some that come here without any kind of extraneous vehicle of any sort. I've been reading a lot on that kind of topic about the Merkaba and how human beings can actually trigger that ourselves as well. It's just we forgot how to do it. And so some of those people are getting here with no technology of any kind, And it's just purely from a spiritual and a mental energy alone. And those are the people that are vibrating high enough, and they've got love to share with us and wisdom. So.
Well, I hope you're right, and you may be. I would say that there are people who have evil energy as well as those who have good spiritual energy, and exactly. The evil could transport themselves here as well.
It's impossible to do that with the Merkaba, because the Merkaba, the only way it gets activated is through a balance of energy, and when you're in the evil side, you do not have a balance of energy going on.
Well, everything that is has a flip side, and there, if Merkaba exists, there is a flip side to it. There is a negative type of Merkaba if there is a positive type. Else there could never be a balance.
Well, maybe...
Like
what people would call Satan. Hmm?
Well, there are people, religious people, that would assign the name Satan to some of these extraterrestrials. There are some religious people that assign Satan and demon titles to all extraterrestrials. But I'm simply talking about balance. If you have yin, you have yang. If you have positive, you have negative.
Yep.
And so if there is a positive Merkaba, there is a negative.
Yeah.
And, and I would assume that those who are of a negative sort would be able to access that negative Merkaba. Hey, thanks for the call. We've hit the end of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for tonight. That's a wrap for this week. I've had a good time. I hope you have. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. And by the way, nobody called Leroy and he's upset. See you next week.